Okay.
Now you can see me.
Okay, let's see.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Leon, did the other trustees indicate that they would be telephonically attending the meeting?
Jerry, you have to state your name every time you speak.
Okay, Jerry Sagnella. Leon, did the trustees indicate they'd be attending the meeting telephonically?
Yes, Mario, I don't think is on yet. He said he would be. I didn't hear from Michael Gormany. I'm not sure if he's going to be.
Naomi, you got to state your name, too.
Okay.
Well, Jerry Sagnos, let's do this because we have a quorum, I believe. So I'm just going to indicate the names of the people, the trustees that I believe are there. Mayor Justin Elliker is in attendance right now. Am I correct?
Yes, this is Justin Elliker. I am in attendance.
Okay. Trustee Mark Petrosimone is in attendance right now.
Here.
Trustee Kathy Graves is in attendance right now.
Here.
And I am in attendance right now, which means we have a legal quorum. If anybody else joins from this point on, we'll have them identify themselves. As far as support staff that's here, Leanna Amberley is there, correct?
Yes, correct. It's Leanna.
Is Taylor Cannon there?
Yes, correct.
Is Eva Crabtree there?
Yes.
Okay, is Carolyn Cohn there?
This is Carolyn. I'm here.
Okay. Is Jack Strother there?
No, this is Carolyn. Jack will not be here. I'll report for
okay. Him. Very good. Is Derek Campini is there, right?
Derek is here, yes.
All right. Dave Moran?
Yes, I'm here.
Wendy Coppola?
Yes, I'm here too.
Okay. Now, who else is there that I haven't called the names out for?
Our two council, class action council.
Okay. We'll put their names in as attending also. Leanna, do you have your names to put in for the minutes that we create for this meeting?
This is Leanna. Yes, I have Marissa D'Amato and Francis McConville.
Okay. Who else is in attendance in addition to that?
This is Eve Dussault, Workers' Comp and Risk Management Coordinator.
Okay. So noted. Anyone else? Well, I think since we have a quorum, we can start the meeting unless there's any anybody wants to wait for other trustees to join. All right, that being the case, I'm going to commence the meeting.
Excuse me, Jer. This is Tom Kama. I was on. I was muted. I didn't know how to unmute, so I apologize for interrupting, but okay. I am in attendance.
All right, so Jerry Sagnola, the record will show that Trustee Kama is also in attendance at the meeting. All right, so I'd like to commence the meeting. The CERC Pension Fund, Wednesday, March 25th. It's a virtual meeting. Hope everyone is well in weathering the storm as best they can. Investor report, I'm going to item one, I'm going to put on hold momentarily. I want to navigate to this if you'll allow me to. If we can go to item two, approval of meeting minutes, A and B. Minutes from February 19th, 2020 meeting and the March 2nd special meeting. What's the board's pleasure on those two items?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Pedrosolo. I move for approval of minutes.
Motion is made. Is there a second?
Tom Kim, a second.
Motion made and second. Is there discussion on the motion? In the absence of a motion and properly made and second, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Mark Pedrosolo, aye.
Who else?
Kathy Grace.
Tom Kama, aye. Kathy Grace.
Justin Elliott, aye.
Mark Pedrosolo, aye.
Mark Pedrosolo, aye.
Tom Kama, did I hear Tom Kama, aye?
Aye, aye.
Mayor Elliott?
Aye. From Mayor Elliott.
All right.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Anybody opposed? I'm sorry, opposed or abstain? Motion carries. Administrative, beg your pardon? Item three, administrative matters. I'd like to put on hold for a moment. For item four, age annuity, rule of 80, early retirement. These are information only. Do not require the discretion of the vote of the trustees. Unless there are any questions that the trustees might have, we can move on from item four to item five, which again is a conditional member retirement. This is information only, does not require the discretion or the vote of the trustees. However, we want to entertain any questions you might have on these items. Without any questions, I'll move to item number six, disability retirement. User reexaminations. As you are aware, when people receive a disability retirement from the SERF retirement fund, within the first 5 years of retirement, they are required to undergo three subsequent medical examinations to determine if the condition, the debilitating condition, still exists to the point where they are unable to work. These individuals listed are on their first reexamination of the three that they are required to accept it in the first 5 years. The reports from Yale Occupational have been provided to the trustees with their evaluation. And if you think that you are able to, on the strength of those reports, medical reports, make a decision and vote on their continuation of disability, fine. If there's anyone in particular or all have to be looking into with discussion of the records, we'll have to make a motion to go into executive session. What is the board's pleasure on item number six?
I don't dare try to ask to go to, into executive session with Zoom.
I agree. I'm in.
Wait. Let's start. We can go into executive session.
No. It's okay.
Please state your name when you speak.
Justin.
Thank you. And Tom as well.
Tom Kim, I suggest we do not go into executive session.
You suggest we do go? Jerry Sagnell.
Do not. Tom Kim.
Do not go into executive session. All right. So you're prepared to vote on these items.
We're prepared to vote on these items. This is Justin Elliott.
Okay. What is the board's pleasure on these items?
Maybe, Jerry, you could do a roll call vote and call our names every time so that we just know when to say yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm Mark Pedrosolo. I move for approval of the disability retirement reexaminations for the three candidates in item six.
A motion has been made by Trustee Pedrosolo to continue the disability retirements. Is there a second on his motion?
And who's it? Tom Kim.
All right, Trustee Tom Kim has seconded Mark Pedrosolo's motion. Is there a discussion on this motion? in the absence of a roll call. Mark Petrosimone.
Aye.
Mayor Justin Ulliker.
Aye.
Kathy Graves.
Aye.
Thomas Kama.
Yes.
Aye, all right.
Aye.
There obviously are no no's for abstentions. Very good. Item 7, jury signal. Item 7, contribution withdrawals. Again, information only. These are people who have terminated the plan and are receiving their employee contributions that remain into the plan during their period of employment. Unless there are any questions on that. Item 8 and item 9, death after retirement, information only. Item 8, survivor, death after retirement, information only. Ray, death after retirement is Ray Schmedberg and Eleanor Bradley. Survivor, death after retirement is Ann Schettino. I'd like to ask the trustees to have a moment of silence for the repose of their souls. Thank you. Jury Signala, item 10, payment of bills. If you have the opportunity to see the itemization, and if so, what's your pleasure?
Tom Kama, make the motion to pay the bills.
Motion been made by Trustee Kama. Can I have a second?
A second. Kathy Graves, second.
Kathy Graves, Trustee Kathy Graves is second the motion. Can I have a roll call on those in favor?
Kathy, yes.
Kathy Graves, Trustee Graves, yes?
Yes.
Mayor
yes.
I'm sorry, Mayor Ulliker?
Yes.
Thomas Kama?
Yes.
Mark Petrosimone?
Aye.
All in favor? No no's and no abstentions. I have nothing under old business at this point, Jerry Sagnella, unless somebody else wants to bring an item up under old business. Anybody, if not item 12, new business, is there anything that the trustees would like to put on for discussion of new business?
So this is Carolyn. I just wanted to talk a little bit about how new applications might be received during this period of the COVID.
You're breaking up, Carolyn. Jerry Signola.
This is Carolyn Cohen, and I thought it was important to discuss how new applications for retirement benefits would be received during this period when the city hall is closed.
Carolyn, Jerry Sagnella, I don't know if it's me, but I'm having very difficult, a lot of difficulty hearing you. It seems very garbled. What is my phone?
There's a lot of feedback on your line, Carolyn.
Okay.
Are you moving papers around, Carolyn?
No.
This is Justin Ulliker. It sounds like some folks should maybe put their phones on mute, or maybe, Leanna, did you host the meeting? If you could mute people that are not speaking, because I think someone is rustling their phone.
So is this any better? Can you hear me now? Is that better? I would like to talk about how new applications for retirement benefits will be received during this period when City Hall is closed. I think we need to create a system for that, that does not involve person-to-person interviews. So maybe Leanna and her team can work on that as a way to go forward.
This is Leanna Ambersley. We've already sort of eliminated, because it's usually like a three-step appointment process. We have scanned everything in so that we can eliminate the first two meetings so that that can be done over the computer. We just send them all the documents through their email. The last meeting is obviously when they fill everything out and submit everything, which we usually do in person. That's kind of the one I think that you're bringing up about, I guess they, you know, we could try to do, if it's okay, like a Zoom meeting like this to go over the documents, if they email it all back to us.
That's a good idea. And should you put the application on the website so that people can fill out the brand new application?
I mean, that there's a lot of paperwork, and there's different paperwork depending on what they are applying for, whether they're doing disability, whether they're not, whether they're doing the COLA bio, whether they're not.
Maybe just a notice that if they're applying, they should email you and then you will get back to them, or some kind of notice so that someone who would otherwise come up to see you knows that it's going to be through email.
This is Leanna. Yeah, I think on the door of Hall of Records, it has my email address listed for pension inquiries. But I could tell them to also put it on the website as well.
Okay.
All right. So I think it's Jerry Sagnola. I think it's obvious that, you know, there'll be a comprehensive method in terms of still servicing employees that are inquiring about their retirements and receiving estimates on what the retirements might be. Anything else in your new business? Hello? Anything else in the new business? All right, if I can return to item two, approval. Item three, administrative matters. A, update on IRS disability benefit ruling. I assume, Carolyn, you're going to give us that?
Yes. So Jack spoke with the IRS yesterday. They have finished their work and issued a report. He thinks it's going to be favorable, but apparently the part of the IRS that actually sends out the report, everybody's home. So the person he spoke with who wrote the report said that it might be a bit of time until we get the actual piece of paper. But that person seemed very favorably and, you know, that we were going to be okay. And his feeling was the ruling was going to be favorable.
That sounds good. Jerry Sagnola. Any other questions of Carolyn on that update on the IRS disability benefit? If not, we can go on to item B, securities litigation report.
Good morning. It's Marissa D'Amato, partner at Labaton Zucharo. I'm joined by my partner, Frank McConville, who is and basically leads our case evaluation, case development team. So we're just going to provide a brief overview of the semi-annual monitoring report that we sent along about a week ago. So we provide these reports twice a year, and it basically will provide the fund's estimated losses, securities actions with strong merit that are filed during that period. So what you're really seeing in this report are the cases from the second half of 2019. And the first chart will basically give you an outline of those cases where the fund had estimated losses. And so we've been monitoring for SURF since 2016. Very rarely does the fund show up with really significant losses in what we consider these traditional stock drop cases, or what we refer to as 10B cases. There will be opportunities from time to time that we may notify you and send you an initial sort of case report in a case where you've incurred a significant loss. One of the areas that I actually think we may be able to alert you to more moving forward is our shareholder derivative practice. So these are basically cases that involve either unfair mergers or other issues where the board of directors for publicly traded companies breach their fiduciary duties owed to the shareholders and to the corporation. And so, you know, typically funds with similar AUMs to SERF, we find that, you know, they're getting more involved in those types of actions. So that's definitely something that I will continue to flag for the board moving forward. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Frank, and he can just talk to you very briefly about some of the recent trends we've seen, the filing trends, and some of the proprietary cases that the firm developed. Frank?
Hi. Thanks, Marissa, and thanks for spending the time to speak with us this morning. I just wanted to really briefly touch on some of the things that we're seeing in the market with regard to COVID-19 and the impact it's having on portfolios in general. Obviously, there's been a pretty significant sell-off for companies in all industries. There really hasn't been any particular industry that's been spared. Every business, every airline, everyone has been impacted by this. We really are not seeing shareholder class actions being filed as a direct result of the sell-off caused by COVID-19. I think everyone is sympathetic to the unprecedented impact that this has had on the market and on the economy in general. And we're, you know, really taking a patient wait and see approach to see how companies are reacting to the overall disruption in the economy. I will highlight two cases that have been filed as a direct result of COVID-19. One is against a cruise line, Norwegian Cruise Line, which had been making representations in the second half of February about their ability to weather the storm and how they have a track record for demonstrating resilience in these types of environments. Apparently, their sales folks were speaking to customers calling with concerns to say, don't really worry about it. Our ships are totally safe. When it turned out that several of their ships had some pretty widespread outbreaks. So that's a case that we're looking at closely. Another case was filed against a pharmaceutical company that claimed to have a vaccine for COVID-19. Turns out that they were only developing a precursor to that vaccine. So the stock popped immediately upon the disclosure that they had the vaccine. And then 2 days later, when it turns out that it wasn't in fact the vaccine, the stock tanked. So we're looking at that case as well, as it could be meritorious under the securities laws. But by and large, companies have put out lots of warnings about how this is going to impact their performance going forward. Matter of fact, a number of companies have pulled their guidance altogether as a reflection of their inability to really predict how their performance, you know, and how their performance will be impacted going forward. So, you know, we like to take a long game approach when it comes to analyzing securities class actions, and we really are sympathetic to everything that's going on in the market right now. So we will be looking closely to see if companies, you know, who had been operating on the fringes during really good times are exposed now that the credit markets are somewhat tightening up. But by and large, we're not seeing an influx of securities cases filed as a result of COVID-19.
Jerry Sagno, the report that you provided us for this meeting, these are litigation. Usually litigation is indicative of somebody has done something wrong. Somebody's been wronged. For example, under Uber Technologies, What would constitute that loss of $62,049, which would require a pursuit of litigation against them? What did they do, or what did they not do?
Hi, this is Frank McConville again. So actually, we are the lead counsel case. We are the lead counsel in the case against Uber. So the case against Uber is premised on the false and misleading statements that they issued in their registration statement. So Uber went public. It had been a private company, and it had been issuing as a private company certain earnings performance metrics, which were wildly optimistic to entice private investment. And when Uber went public in 2019, in connection with their registration statement, which allowed them to go public, they put out performance metrics that were not nearly as optimistic as what they had been saying as a private company. And so the claim is really in connection with the false statements that they were making with regard to their business model, which we believe were false and misleading. So when the company went public at a particular price, investors were buying, thinking that they were buying a company that was operating the way it had been as a private company. And it turns out after one reporting cycle, when they issued their quarterly results as a public company, they were nowhere near as profitable as they had been indicating when they were a private company, when the reporting requirements were much lower. So that's and as a result of those disappointing results, the stock price went down below the offering price. And so as a result, your fund purchased a significant amount of Uber on the public offering. And after the disclosure and the stock went down, the loss was $62,000. Now, you're a member of a class of all investors who purchased Uber on the public offering, and we're currently litigating that case in an attempt to recover those investment losses.
But that 62, Jerry Sagnello, that 62,000 is the city, the SURF fund's loss itself, not the entire amount of the class action.
That's correct.
And I assume that I've been through these before, some of these, when ultimately the litigation is heard and decided by a judge, if we get back $7,000 of that $62,000, we can consider ourselves lucky.
Well, every case is different, obviously. $7,000 would be a, you know, in our minds, it would be a little bit low. We like to think of our recovery ratios from total damages to recovery to be somewhere in the 20% to 25% range. It doesn't always work out that way. Insurance proceeds, available cash to fund a settlement, a strength of claims, all those things factor into it, expert analysis. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if there is $7,000 that's returned, that's $7,000 that otherwise wouldn't have gone back to your fund. So, you know, we're doing our best to get as much back as possible.
Jerry said, what is the normal fee that your law firm charges on recovery of this money? I understand it basically up to the judge to determine that, but what has that been averaging?
Yeah, well, the fee actually is negotiated by the institutional investor that serves as lead plaintiff. So as part of the retention agreement, the fee would be whatever that fund deems as appropriate. You know, in a standard class action, and again, this is an overbroad generalization, the overall percentage fee is anywhere between 15 and 20 to 25% of the settlement funds that would go to the lawyers that serve as lead counsel.
May I ask a question? This is Derek at Raymond James. Frank, I don't have the report you provided. Is that a realized loss or is that a paper loss on the Uber side?
That is a paper loss.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, hello, this is Tom Kammer. I thought your company came in a couple of years ago and we negotiated a set percentage that you would charge on a settlement. Is that correct or not correct?
No, that's not Tom. It's Carolyn. So in that particular matter, we were one of the lead plaintiffs, and that's why we got a say in the attorney's fees for the law firm. But
okay.
Yeah, but when we're not a lead counsel, that doesn't apply.
So that was like in the I got you. All right, the other thing, what fund was that Uber stock in that we have invested?
This is Marissa D'Amato. I can check with our data analysis team and I can send everyone a quick email on that once we get off the call. I don't have the information.
Okay.
Jerry Sagnola, is there any more commentary?
Someone's joined us, right?
I did. Mario.
Mario. Let the record show that trustee Mario Zangari has entered the discussion.
And has Mr. Gormany, Mike Gormany, are you on the line as well? Because your name is showing up.
Yep, I was just about to say Mike Gormany joined as well.
All right. Okay, under Administrative Matters, we're under B, Securities Litigation Report. Is there any other commentary that the representatives would like to present to the trustees, or any questions the trustees might have?
We don't have any further comments.
Okay, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you. We hope everyone's safe and healthy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I actually have – this is Derek at Raymond James. Marissa, did you get – I'm assuming you guys are aware that the fund switched from Morgan Stanley to Raymond James. Are you guys aware of that? And if so, what are you doing to get set up, or do you need our help to get set up for monitoring moving forward?
Let me check with Eunice, who is our director of client relations, and she oversees all those issues. So thank you first for alerting me to that. And then I can circle back with you and send you an email just to see if there's anything we need or any help with that. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other commentary or questions on item B, Securities Litigation Report? If not, I would like to move on to item 3C, Special Fund Buyback. Jerry Sagnola speaking. Is Harold Brooks available?
I am. I'm not sure if you all can hear me.
Okay. Would you like to make some commentary on this matter?
I would. I'm calling with regards to, or I'm here to request that the board will assist the members in buying back their time or prior year service time. I understand from February meeting that a buyback offer offered to city employees or SURF members, I should say, only two members, and was not open up to all of the members.
Mr. Brooks, can you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. I'm Harold Brooks. I'm the local president of Local 3144.
Thank you.
And so currently I've been before the board. This is the second time coming before the board on this matter. But having gone back and spoken to some of the members, I was informed that they've been asking for this, some of them since 2010. And when found out about others being offered this same provision in 2012, they were quite upset. And again, I wasn't made aware of that until the February meeting of 2020. And so hence I wanted to get on the agenda to make mention of that it was brought up in the February meeting, I'd say. And so I wanted to get on the agenda again in March to address that issue. I did write a letter of correspondence to share, but since we're now in this crisis where we have to do everything by phone or teleconferencing, I do have a letter, and I'll get that forwarded over to Leanne, and she can send out to all of the board members.
Can I interrupt you on that, Matthew Brooks? This is Carolyn. Just in terms of we're proceeding under the governor's executive order 7B, so that letter cannot be shared unless it was on our website 24 hours before. So I'd ask that you not forward that letter for this meeting. If you know, you could forward it for the April meeting, but not for this meeting because we can't accept it.
This is Tom Kammer. Can he discuss it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Tom, that's a good point. What are we talking about here, Harold? How many people and how much buyback are we talking about?
So, excuse me, Tom Kammer, once again. Mario, I think we're looking for a change in the plan document or whatever, so it could be an ongoing buyback throughout, you know. Is that what we're discussing?
So, do you want me to, I'd like to, I have quite a bit to say about this, but I'd like Carol to go with his presentation. So this is an issue that needs to be negotiated, and we did alert the city's labor relations director about our meeting and that this was an agenda item. So the first, this is an issue that gets negotiated between this, we have no role in this, in terms of whether it's going to happen, between the city and the labor relations director. And it can be done with a memorandum of understanding. But the very, very first thing that needs to be done is to figure out the financial impact on the fund and on the city's contribution of a buyback program for special funds employees. And the way you do that, and the way we did it in 2012 for confidential employees and executive management, confidential employees, was that we have to work very closely with the actuary to determine what information we need to know, everybody's salary, their history of their salary, what their contributions would have been, what if they now with 3% interest, what their purchase amount would be, and what the financial impact is on the city. So first, the city's labor relations director has to agree this is something they want, and then we need to work with the actuary to get all the information needed, if this is something the city wants to do, and what the financial impact on the city is, and then determine if it's huge, whether or not everybody can buy back everything they want to buy back.
But okay, this is Tom Camp. This is Tom Kammer. Harold, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't a letter, a memorandum of understanding already been executed?
No. So the only memorandum of understanding that was executed was the special pension issue that you just talked about momentarily ago.
You're talking about the thing with the IRS?
Yes.
This is Carolyn. It's a very complex memorandum of understanding that would be negotiated.
Carol, let me interrupt. Once again, this is Tom Kammer. I understand how it works because I work with a lot of school teachers, and teachers can buy years of service, whether in the military, whether they're in Peace Corps or other types of operations, and, you know, or working in a capacity that they weren't in the pension fund. So I think what the unions, and Harold, correct me if I'm wrong, what the unions are looking to do is have a policy in place where going forward, if somebody wants to buy years, that they can buy years for their service, and it really shouldn't be a burden on the pension fund, because these people have to pay. The participants that are buying years are putting their money in to the plan, adding money to the pension fund, not taking money away from it.
Well, that's an actuarially complicated issue, because all those years the city has not been contributing based on the idea that
that's why the participants will put their earned money into the fund.
Wait a minute, Tom. I hate to say this, but we seem like Nero fiddling while Rome burns. If this is something that has to be negotiated by the city,
correct,
the union, before it gets to us, I don't see why we're spending time on it. We've got the whole thing with the collapsing stock market, which is a bigger issue that we are directly responsible for. So let's have Harold deal with the city first and get that worked out, and then they can come to talk to us about what we have to do. But I think it's inappropriate at this point to get spending a lot of time when we have more important.
No, I actually know a lot of the folks that are looking to buy time.
It's important to them, Mario, so
it is appropriate.
No, but it's not appropriate at this point in time, and I suggest that we move on to the other issues so we can have Harold and the city work out what they have to work out before they come and see us.
Okay, so Mrs. Zandri, I think for the last two times, if I may just interject, and I'm coming to, if you can just hear me out for a quick minute. So I've been to the previous administration and went to, and they direct me to the Labor Relations Office. Labor Relations Office directed me to the Pension Board. And so it was during this time period that we discovered and received information that this board has already done this for two of members of the SERF plan with offering this plan to the entire membership plan. And so what I'm looking simply to do is to right that wrong. These individuals who are looking to buy back time since 2010 be allowed to do so, which would be in the purview of this board. If the board tells me it is not in the purview, then I will take another course of action. But I'm bringing this to the board because, again, from the last meeting, the board said it was not their policy or their procedure was not to deny a member any benefit going forward. And so this is a benefit. By you allowing those two confidential and executive management employees the option to purchase time back and deny that to other SERF members, I think that for me is an issue. Now, if you're telling me that is not your purview, I will take my argument elsewhere.
So this is Carolyn. Harold, I think you're not correct that this was what happened was the fund was shut down to confidential and executive management employees. And at that time, certain people, confidential employees who were already members of the fund, not special people on special funds, were allowed to buy back years. But there was it really has nothing to do with the people who are on special funds that now wish to buy back. This is a complete.
That's not accurate, Carol. This is Tom Kama. These people are if they're buying years on the fund, they have to be a part of the fund. So previously they were special funded, but now they are presently on the fund.
Right, but Tom, they weren't confidential employees. The fund was shut down to confidential and executive employees. That was the program. And that's why they were allowed to buy back. But this has nothing to do. This is a new program that the city has to embrace. This has nothing to do with the pension board. We will help administer it if the city says that the city and the unions work this out. We will administer. We'll be helpful. We have forms. We've done it in the past. But this is not our issue at this point in time. It is the city, labor relations and Harold's a union issue. They need to negotiate this. And then when they come to us, we will do the mechanics of it.
I think if you look back at the minutes when Mayor Harper's administration was there, I think back about 4 months ago, Mayor Harper actually, I think the language was agreed to it or whatever, but it was just about how to fund it was the issue. If I'm wrong, correct me.
I do not think that's accurate. I think what Mayor Harp said that there needed to be an actuarial involvement of the actuaries, and I think she thought that the union should pay for that. But this is something that the labor relations director needs to be involved in and negotiate with the 3144 union.
Jerry Sagnella, at the meeting that this issue arose, the trustees notified the union representatives at the meeting. I believe it was 3144 and Local 84 were also there together, that the trustees have absolutely no purview or jurisdiction in being able to grant this special fund buyback. We are not a player on that field. What the trustees did agree to was that they would notify labor relations that they were amenable to such a sort of as a supportive type of action, that they were amenable if such a buyback could be achieved. But again, as fiduciaries to the fund, they notified labor relations that they had to be very cognizant of what the actuarial effect was on the fund. And that being the case, and again, this thing started under the previous labor relations director who had advised the union to come to the trustees of the pension board with the issue. After the meeting where our SURF board trustees addressed this issue, Liana and I met with the new labor relations director for the city, Ms. Smith, I believe, and we turned over the file to her and said that at that point in time, it was an issue between labor relations and the union to determine, you know, if and when this was going to happen and how it would happen. And that file resides at the labor relations office now for them to interact with the unions.
Okay. All right, Jer. Tom Kim. Thank you, Jer.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry. I just wanted this last point, and then you all can move on with your agenda. But I think the issue is for me that the individuals who are allowed to purchase time were members of the SURF plan. And so that would be the same concept. These individuals are members of the SURF plan, have been for a number of years, and have just requested to buy back prior year service. That's the majority of the group. They've been looking to do this since 2010. And when Carol,
Jerry Sagnella, Harold, I can't hear you that well. It's sort of garbled.
Sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Not too much, but go ahead.
All right. I'm sitting at work, and I had trouble getting on. So hopefully we can resolve this issue with the sound. But I just want to point out that these members who are looking to buy time have been members of the SURF plan for a number of years, the majority, and they were looking to buy back prior year service, just as the two candidates who were allowed, who are executive management and confidential employees. And if Carolyn, mm-hmm. you look at those employees, they were allowed to be in the SURF plan. And so specifically one of them, they chose not to buy back time, but she was allowed to purchase time if need be. And she chose not to. And so we're just asking you to afford these individuals the same right. But we'll take our argument to another place. Thank
this
you.
Is Justin. This is Justin Ellickert. May I make a suggestion? Because Attorney Cohn has a differing recollection than Mr. Brooks and one of the board members. Can we, before we just talk on this matter any further, just go back to the minutes and figure out exactly the facts here so that we can talk, we can all be on the same page about what the facts are. It seems like people are not on the same page about what the facts are.
So, Mayor Ellickert, Carolyn Cohn, I wish to be deferential to that, but this is a very, very simple factual issue. In 2012, the confidential and executive management employees were allowed to buy back time. This has nothing to do with the special fund employees. And that was done through the Board of Alders, and it was done through changes in the executive and confidential manual. Not done through the 3144, has absolutely nothing to do with it. The union, under Connecticut law, any program like this buyback has to be negotiated between the labor relations director and the union. The board has absolutely no role other than to implement what that agreement becomes. And I really feel that everybody is just spinning their wheels here. Mr. Brooks needs to go talk to Catherine Simpson and decide whether or not this is a program that they can come to an agreement on. And then we need to go to the actuary and figure out the mechanics of the buyback. but I just think we're all wasting a lot of time here on this issue.
Tom Kim is speaking. I say we go with what Mayor Ellicker said. Go back, study the minutes.
No, Tom, we're not.
No, yes, Carol. I don't know how you're running this.
Tom, you've been talking. Do you have any clients that are involved in this issue?
I don't have clients. There's people that I live in the city of New Haven with that are looking to buy years, but that's not the point. I know I know as a pension consultant and other pensions, people have the opportunity to buy years. What I'm saying is the people in SERF, if they want to put their own money into the plan so that they can buy years, then they should have an opportunity to do so. That's all I'm saying. I'll end it, and I'm not going to say another word to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I make a motion that we move on to the next topic?
Second. This is Justin Ellicker. I'm seconding that.
Is there a discussion?
This is Kathy. I'm voting yes.
Well, Jerry Sagnola, I mean, item C was the last agenda item.
Excuse me, Jerry. This is Leanna. There was a updated agenda sent where we added in a renewal of the liability insurance.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get that.
Okay, then let's have a vote on whether or not we accept the insurance.
This is Leanna. That was what Sienna had sent Jerry, where we compared it from last year to this year.
Yeah, I had asked her for the premium cost on that.
I saw that in one of the exhibits that we sent out.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Leanna, this is Kathy. Has the premium changed from last year to this year?
This is Leanna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
She emailed us. Last year's premium was $29,129, and this year it's $29,054. So it's a little bit less. She said the savings was based on the assets being up slightly.
Right. Jerry Sagnola, just so you're aware that this is a liability insurance that the trustees, SERF trustees, decided some years ago they wanted for added protection for their trustees. The police and fire do not have this insurance coverage. Karen, perhaps you can just give them a little overview as to what the insurance coverage offers to this plan.
This is Carolyn. It's fiduciary liability insurance. So if somebody felt that bad investments were being made, if somebody felt that they were improperly denied benefits, if someone felt that, you know, various trustees were not complying with their fiduciary duties, they were self-dealing, this would cover that kind of claim. And we did have a claim several years ago that related to the 2012 buyback, or where somebody felt that they should have been in it and they weren't, and this insurance covered for that. So
this is Kathy, and I move that we accept the renewal of the fiduciary insurance.
This is Mary. This
is Tom Kama. I second it.
Each of two.
Jerry Sagnola, a motion has been made and it's been seconded. Is there discussion on the motion to renew the trustee liability insurance? Is there discussion?
If not, a motion has been properly made and offered. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Roll call.
Aye.
I have a roll call. I'm sorry. A roll call on that. Mark Petrosimone.
Aye.
Thomas Kama.
Aye.
Mayor Ulliker.
Aye.
Mario Panagrosso.
Zangari.
Zangari. I'm sorry.
Aye.
Zangari.
Aye.
Kathy Graves.
Aye.
The motion carries. Okay, I think we're at the point in time now where we can ask for a financial report. I'm not sure if you want to hear it.
This is Justin Ellicker. Just a quick question. Do we have any items that are important to vote on?
I beg your pardon, Mayor?
Are there any other items that we need to vote on?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm going to skip out of the meeting. I'm sorry to miss the financial report. I always love it. But thanks, everyone.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead. Jerry Sagnola, give us the bad news.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. This is Derek. I don't know why there's a lot of feedback there.
Derek, how come you're not coming through? We can't see you. Dave.
Well, we're here, Mario. We're here telephonically.
Okay.
So I sent out last night three different slides. I don't know if everybody got them. I sent them to everybody on the email. Did everybody get emails from me with the slides?
I did.
So, yep. Derek, just in terms of going, this is Carolyn, going forward, can you please send 24 hours in advance to Leanna any slides that you're going to be talking about?
Okay, well, that's news to me, Carolyn, because we typically just show up the day of with our slides.
Yeah, of course. This is under the governor's Executive Order 7B. This is brand new.
Okay. Okay, so, sure. So at any rate, what I'd like to do is start with a slide I sent called Surf March 2020. It's, if you open it up, it says Weekly Market Flash. And what you'll see is a lot of red on the it's no news to everybody on the call, but obviously markets were in are in complete disarray. There's a lot of dislocations in the market. We all know why. It's a healthcare epidemic that we're facing, the country's facing. The implications we are still trying to figure out. We, you know, in the financial world, in the economic world, trying to figure out what the ramifications are. We know there are unprecedented layoffs. You know, we're trying to see what that translates to in way of financial earnings. You know, California alone last week had 80,000 unemployment issuances in a single day. Normal is 2,000. So unemployment numbers come out tomorrow. Those are going to be certainly deep and extensive. It's impossible to really calculate where, you know, how much of the unemployment is going to be implicated throughout the market. It's definitely going to affect the small and mid-sized companies more than the large cap, just because of the number of workers that are typically in mid-sized businesses employ. So, you know, we expect that quarter one, this quarter that we're in, is going to be slightly negative GDP growth. So, I mean, we're in the beginning of, I think, currently in a recession. That's kind of what the market's pricing in. Second quarter GDP, we think, is going to be far worse. You know, so that's the bad news. There's no doubt that we're, if not in a recession, very close to a recession currently. I just wanted to highlight the email that I sent to all of you last week, kind of just giving you some of our thoughts about where the portfolio is structured, what we've done proactively to try to limit as much losses as we can. You know, one of the things that we talked about is some time ago, maybe several months ago, we tilted the fund more towards the large cap stocks over the mid and small caps. So if you could see the weekly market flash that I'm talking about, the red chart. You know, again, Russell 1000 stocks are typically the larger names, the large cap stocks.
year to date, they're down 29%. That's a bad number. But if you compare it to mid cap stocks, are down anywhere from 36 to 40%. Small cap stocks are down, you know, 42-43%. So that was, you know, clearly a better move. Sorry, there's a lot of feedback on the line. Is anybody hearing that? Is me? I don't know if you guys could hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So proactively, you know, we've gone up capitalization. We think that was a strong move, you know, to be defensive. Another thing that we talked about is the cash in hand. We have quite a bit of cash on hand. Not only do we have the ARC money of roughly $20 million, we also have one of our mid-cap notes matured. That was about $5.4 million. And we also have about almost $6 million at Northern Trust. So all in, we have about $31 million, just shy of $31 million in
Jerry,
cash.
Jerry's saying, yes. How much did you invest? $20 million?
No, we have the ARC money? So there's $20 million in ARC money is in cash. It's not moved. We have not moved.
The $20 million is in cash.
In cash, as well as $5.4 million of the S&P 400 mid-cap index that matured. So that's about 25. That makes it $25 million. And we have about $5.8 million at Northern Trust for benefit payments. So all in, we have about a $30 million cash buffer. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
Now for the bad news, you know, pretty much everything across the board is down except for our illiquid investments. So part of the moves the board made over the past few years, collectively, everybody at the table or everybody at their respective tables has been involved in this, and I think that was certainly a great opportunity to recognize in this time why we do that. Pardon?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you know, the illiquid investments we have act as a ballast to, you know, I mentioned in the email that we sent last week that, you know, the rush to the door on every asset class, including, you know, bonds, our quote-unquote safe money, our bonds, our stocks, small, domestic, international. Everybody sold liquid investments, much like what happened in 2008 and 2009. Illiquid investments, as you all know, you can't just sell. You can't hit the bid and sell them. So that actually protects against, you know, crises like this. So if we held, you know, all these – now, let me also bear in mind that these assets were in transition. They are all, for the most part, with the exception of a handful of dollars, all at Raymond James. They are all being managed by your respective managers. So basically, it's business as usual. So I do not have an official performance report yet because it was an intra-month sort of thing. But we have a list that we've been keeping of, you know, reconciling what assets have come, what assets have not. So I looked at the last January 31st Morgan Stanley report. At that time, the fund was 186 million, roughly 108, almost 187 million. Holding all the alternatives constant, bringing over the liquid assets, you're down to just under 160 million. So it was definitely a hit. It's about a 14.5% reduction in asset value. You know, and that's inclusive of, you know, alternatives being constant, cash, et cetera, et cetera. Never a good time to be on the phone and say, hey, you're down 15.5%, especially in the first quarter of a year. And this was as of yesterday. So just so everybody knows, this is an intra-month calculation. It's by no means, you know, to the penny. But it's roughly what we could anticipate being down thus far through yesterday. But, you know, these markets are down anywhere from 20 to 30%. Fixed income assets are down. You know, the benchmark for our bond managers down, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8%. So pretty much is a selling across the board. But, you know, one of the things we have to bear in mind that, you know, in times of crisis, in times of, you know, recession, the market tends to correct prior to good news coming out. So basically, it's a leading indicator, and we don't anticipate that. Well, first of all, we anticipate it to get worse. The news is going to get worse. There's no doubt about it. Like I mentioned earlier in the call, you know, we're in the midst of a recession right now. We think Q1 is going to have a mild negative GDP. Second quarter is going to be far more far more worse in way of GDP growth. I mean, we're going to be negative. It's going to be very much a recessionary quarter. But we don't necessarily think, because in past times, in 2008, 2009, in the tech bubble 2000, 2001, the market recovered before the news got better. So, you know, Warren Buffett always says, when people are fearful, be greedy. When people are greedy, be fearful. Well, clearly people are fearful, and rightfully so. The economy is in a bad way. Unemployment is very extensive. So we have a lot of cash. We have a lot of dry powder, as they call it, on the sidelines. So that's a great thing. It's just a matter of how do we deploy, when do we deploy. So collectively, we chatted as a team, and we're, you know, our formal recommendations are, hey, we have enough cash benefits to pay, you know, with the cash in hand, we have at least 6 to 7 months of benefit payments. Actually, we have closer to 10 months if we count all the cash. We don't think 10 months of benefit payments is necessary. We think that we will come out of this storm financially, maybe not economically, but out of the storm financially sooner than 10 months. But then again, we are not necessarily going to sit here and say, hey, we know when the right time to go in is, because we don't. Nobody does. Nobody knows when the right time to buy stocks are. But what we do know is stocks are far less expensive today than they were simply 3 months ago. Will they be less expensive next month? Quite possibly. And less expensive the month after? Quite possibly. So what our proposition is that we think it makes sense to add systematically portions of money. You know, we have roughly almost $30 million in cash. We'd like to commit $10 million or so, maybe $12 million in incremental purchases over the next several months. And by doing that, what that does is that takes away the quote unquote market timing aspect of this, because no one could really time the market properly. But what's fantastic is that we do have this dry powder, the ability to buy stocks at a cheaper price systematically. And, you know, we spoke and we think it makes sense to buy stocks systematically at the end of every month over the next 3 to 4 months. So that's basically what we think makes sense from a standpoint of how do we add this money? How do we get this money to work? Because if we all say, hey, let's put $10 million to work today, we could be right or we could be wrong. And only time will tell. And I'm not willing to make that bet. We as a collective body, I'd argue, are not willing to make that bet. So by taking away the day and making it more systematic, we're doing in our opinion, the right thing from a fiduciary standpoint, and not trying to time the markets, just recognizing, hey, things are less expensive today than they were simply 3 months ago. So our formal recommendation to the board is systematically over the next 3 to 4 months, on the last business day of the month, whether that's be the 31st, the 30th, or the 29th of any month, we'd like to commit $3 million of your cash to large cap growth stocks. So large cap growth equities, we think, are stand to rebound the fastest. They've held up the best in this financial crisis. And because they're a large cap, we think they're more resilient to unemployment claims. They typically have a lot of cash at hand. They pay their bills. They have enough cash to withstand any major calamity moving forward. So, again, our formal recommendation to the board is $3 million a month added to large cap growth stocks systematically over the next 3 to 4 months.
So I have a question to ask. This is Mark Petrosimone. I have a question to ask. So it is possible that with what you're saying, that if we invest or buy particular stocks, $3 million at the end of each month, that following month, the stocks that were purchased the previous month could have less value then?
Correct.
Okay.
Or conversely, they could be more valuable.
Right, I got it. You know? Okay.
So, but by doing it systematically, Mark, what it does take away is the gamble of it, because it's less of a gamble, because if you commit on any one given day, you are now gambling that that day is the best day to buy prep stocks. And, you know, Dave had a good point yesterday. He and I chatted, and Dave, you could chime in if you'd like, obviously. But, you know, a lot of the large retirement funds have what we call lifestyle funds. In the private sector, there's these lifestyle funds that are basically balanced funds, and they're forced every month to rebalance. And so they're going to be buying at the end of the month, every single month, rebalancing lifestyle funds. So we would like, regardless of whether or not the market is up or down, so that we think is a big buyer of equities at the end of the month. That's why we suggested the end of the month, not the beginning of the month, and not the middle of the month. We think it makes sense to take advantage of some of those systematic buys and adding your equities. And again, we're not saying, you know, you have almost $30 million in cash. We're not saying, hey, let's back the truck up and dump it in stocks, because no one could really predict when this thing's going to bottom. We think there will be more pain. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, well, the worst of it is over. But what we do know is that stocks recover faster or sooner than the economy. So there will be continuous bad news. You know, unemployment claims are going to get worse before they get better. There are going to be more people sick before they get better. There's no doubt about that in any of our minds, I think. But, you know, stocks are a leading indicator. Stocks are a discounting mechanism, you know, 6 to 9 months in the future. So how much of that is factored into the relative stock market? We don't know. There are people far smarter than us trying to figure that out, and they don't know. But what we do know is that we liked stocks just 3 months ago, 4 months ago, stocks were on fire, and we were taking part in that. We've given it all back, unfortunately, but, you know, through our asset allocation, we haven't given back, you know, everything. So we're still higher than we were, but we're not, you know, it's a time to commit more capital, certainly.
So this is Mark Punter-Simone again. I just got a follow-up. So is my choice a choice between, let's just hold on to the cash. The cash will retain its value more versus let's do, intermittent, incremental and selective purchasing of stocks where the value is more than what my cash should be, or the value, right? Is that what you're, yep. Is that where we're, just, what the
exactly.
Decision is?
Yep. Okay. Yep. You could sit in cash and do nothing and yeah. Just let this thing ride out. And that's certainly your option. There's no doubt about that. But what we recognize as professionals are, hey, there are still quality companies that have a lot of cash on the balance sheet that we think will be certainly less affected by the recession. They tend to be the large cap growth names. We think they're, you know, so strategically we're picking large cap growth, not mid cap, not small cap, not international. So we think that's the not large cap value. We think those are the better names to pick. And we think, hey, stocks are down 30%, 30 to 40% from where they were 3 months ago. Could they go down more? Absolutely. That's why we were recommending systematic purchasing, not purchasing all in one day. This fund is a long-term fund. As we all know, it's supposed to go on for eternity. And our job is to present value when there's value to be had. And we think there's value to be had. We do not think stocks are going to zero. We do not think that this country is going to be in a depression. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm right. But we think that there are going to be corrective actions taken. I mean, Congress passed a $2 trillion relief bill. I mean, $2 trillion. The Fed is, you know, back to quantitative easing. There's a lot of, increased liquidity in the markets. I mean, our bond manager is down, about 12%. And the reason being is just because of liquidity concerns. Some of the companies they own are, travel and leisure companies. But are these companies going to go out of business? Probably not. Some of them will. But we think that our active managers have done a good job of identifying quality companies with, cash on the balance sheet to pay their bondholders. But there's going to be pain, and there is pain. There's pain in the market. So our thoughts are, hey, let's take advantage of this calamity to the best of our ability.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, it's Dave Moran. I just wanted to at least say a comment. To put this in perspective, this market in 16 days went to a bear market, which is the fastest ever. The last time this happened, which was close to it, was 1933. That's the second fastest time that this has done this. So kind of unprecedented times. You know, yesterday, talk about volatility. Yesterday was the best day on the upside since 1933. So the volatility of the market is just really, really crazy. You're watching it on TV, you see it yourself, and it's an unprecedented time health-wise. I've never seen this. Nobody on this call has ever seen it. So the hard thing is that we're trying to stay invested. We're trying to add to investments, and we're never going to know when the bottom is. So if we can add between now and the next 3 months, we think that 12 months out, we're going to be looking good. As far as the fiscal year, it could obviously be a challenge ending on June 30th, but you know, it's unprecedented times. We're trying to stay allocated. It is nice that we have an asset allocation that does include fixed income. It does include private investments that aren't marked to market every single day. So we don't know how bad it's going to get. And we both, you know, like Derek and I and Wendy said, we're talking about it. We have no idea where this is going to bottom. So I think that we stay where we are. We add to it systematically, which we're lower basis. We have a lot of active managers that are hopefully doing buying and selling. For now, we'll give it another 30 days and take a look again at opportunities. So with that said, questions can be asked.
Okay, let's call and refer to everybody. The question is basically, do we sit with our cash or do we do systematic in purchases of $3 million at the end of each month going forward? And I suggest that we cap that to 3 months as a maximum. And then we can, and we have the right to stop it at any time based on what happens during that period of time.
That's true. Yeah, we will continue to meet monthly, obviously, whether it's telephonically or in person, hopefully. And that could be turned on or turned off at any point in time.
Jerry Sagnol, Trustee Zangari has made a motion. Is there a second?
Mark Fletcher's more, and I'll second it.
Is there discussion on the motion?
Yes, this is Kathy. Could you just repeat that one more time, the motion again?
The motion is that we invest systematically $3 million a month for a maximum of 3 months at the end of the month, and with the ability to readjust that at any time, depending on the circumstances.
And that's the recommendation, Derek, that's your recommendation?
Yes, yes, Kathy.
Okay, all right.
The motion, and Jerry Sagnol, when you say invest in the stock market.
Invest in large cap growth.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Jerry Sagnol, if not, the motion was properly made and second. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Roll call. Mark Petrosimone.
Aye.
Thomas Kama.
Aye.
Mario Zangari.
Aye.
Kathy Graves.
Aye.
And I believe Mayor Elker has left.
Yes.
Jerry, this is Leanna. Mike Gormany is also on still.
Okay. Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Any other commentary from the financial consultants?
No. We're just, you know, just rest assured we're watching this every day. And if there are any developments that we think are dire or need immediate assistance, we'll try to call an emergency meeting. But for right now, we're sitting tight and paying attention and taking it all in information's coming in fast and furious, and we're trying to digest it and do the best we can for you. So we're here, we're working through it, and we'll keep you abreast.
This is Tom Kama. Derek, can you just touch in on the bond market, how the rates going to zero is affecting our bond portfolio and our stock portfolio? And can you just briefly touch on our alternative like Alcyon?
Sure. So there's a lot of questions there, Tom. From our bond standpoint, I actually have a comment from our bond manager, Dolan McNary. Again, they were down about 12%. So I asked them, you know, some comments, and I'll just simply read because they could say it better than them. They could say it better than I, rather. So I'll just read that briefly. It's a short paragraph. It says, volatility has been significant in the U.S. corporate bond market, and liquidity has been tight. Bid-ask spreads are wide, and it's difficult to get accurate prices for many bonds. This is reminiscent of 2008. Mark-to-market losses have been substantial as fear and uncertainty are pervasive. The U.S. Fed announced yesterday a program to purchase U.S. investment-grade corporate bonds. After trading yesterday, liquidity in the investment-grade market was marginally improved, while liquidity in the high-yield market remained difficult. We feel good about the credit quality of our portfolios. We were defensively postured coming into this, and feel that the names in our portfolios are durable. We have a couple of leisure industry names in portfolios, Expedia, Host Hotels, and Cinemark, which will be significantly impacted. They have staying power to weather the storm, as Expedia has $5.5 billion in liquidity, Host has $3.1 billion in liquidity, and Cinemark has $500 million. Other impacted names in the portfolio include Gap Stores, more cash than debt, Kohl's Corporation, $1.7 billion in cash, and Sally Beauty, $550 million in liquidity. We have a watch list of at-risk names, which we discuss almost daily, and have started reducing one or two positions as the market allows. The yields on our products are attractive, and now is a good time to add. Below, please find latest preliminary growth performance and statistics through March 23rd. And one of the things I want to point out is their returns year-to-date are down 11.81%. Their yield to worst so is 6.72%. The Barclays intermediate credit is 3.89, so they have a higher yield. And their duration to worst is 3.87 versus 4.17 at their benchmark. So they have a higher yield and a lower duration. So that's you know, only relevant in rising interest rate environment. But the point is that if the names of the portfolio withstand, you know, the yield on the portfolio should make up at least, you know, half of the return they need to get to break even. So there is an illiquidity in the fixed income market, and that holds true even in some of the treasury markets. So, you know, that's the illiquidity and price to market is what's pricing these bonds lower than perhaps they need to be because of the spreads on the bid ask. That's a phenomenon due to liquidity crunch, which is why the Fed has stepped up trying to increase liquidity into the fixed income market. So, you know, the banking system on all fronts is very much a perception. You know, it's one of perception. When people panic, they flee to the door, which creates a liquidity crunch. And when there's a liquidity crunch, it worsens the panic. So that's why the Fed steps up and tries to increase liquidity to everybody calm down. When everybody calms down, liquidity mysteriously comes back to these markets. So it's very much a knee-jerk reaction. It's a reactionary marketplace. And when you're a long-term investor, there's not much you can do. We're not traders. We're not trading these markets. We're investing in them. So the only thing we can do in both your fixed income and your equity markets is just sit tight, bear some of the pain, and get through it. We're not going to say, hey, let's recommend selling everything now, because that's absolutely positively the worst thing you can do. So that's the address your question, Tom, about the fixed income markets. From the alternatives, you know, Alcyon, I spoke to the gentleman from Alcyon last week. The MSCI All Country World Index, which is their world index, was down about 18% at the time, and they were flat. So they hadn't lost any money. I revisited it yesterday, and it looks like they're down about 6%. Actually, the day before yesterday. So Monday, they were down about 6%. So I'd argue as after yesterday, the market being up, they're either flat or back to flat or slightly positive. So Alkion's done well. Some of your other illiquid investments are illiquid. So they're priced quarterly or semi-annually or annually. So those portfolios are flat for all intents and purposes, because there is no ability to panic sell a real estate investment or panic sell a private equity investment. So that's the beauty of having those things in the portfolio, because those will help offset, you know, a lot of the liquid losses that are on paper. You know, these again are all paper losses. We're down roughly 14.5% on paper. You know, the only way you realize that loss is if we sell all the investments, and then now you've realized that loss. By being invested and staying invested, that loss is on paper. It could get worse. Hopefully it will get better. But, you know, our liquid assets are priced instantly every day. Our illiquids are not.
Derek, two last questions, and I'll let it go. Is this a good environment to think about going into a structured note because stocks are low? I also know interest rates are low, so you won't get the same uptick. So is this a good time to look into it? And the other question is, do we hold any preferred stocks in any of our portfolios?
Let me answer the second question first, Tom. We own no preferred stocks currently, okay. which is good, because those things got hammered pretty hard. All derivative, fixed income derivative investments got crushed. High yield are down substantially. Preferreds, convertible, everything non-U.S. Treasury in the fixed income market is down substantially. To your second question, Tom, about a structured note, we had some loose dialogue as a team yesterday about that. We don't know that it's the right time just yet. You know, the volatility is certainly something that does help these structured notes, as does yield. So, I mean, there's a few things that go into making the bands on a structured note. Bear in mind, we had that S&P 400 mid-cap note mature, and it matured at par, and we lost no money on it. Its respective index was down 36%. We were flat. So that's another win on one of those structured notes. We have a European note that I believe is not due to mature until the summertime. It's down, but it's down mark to market. It's down less, significantly less than the market. Again, those things are only valued, you know, really twice, when you buy them and when they mature. They do trade and fluctuate intra-market, but they're not traded liquidly like a regular stock. So it's hard to say what the actual value of that is. But we can potentially look at, you know, another note. You know, Dave and I were talking about it yesterday. There's a police and fire meeting tomorrow. Obviously, when we create these things with size, it helps. But it's something we can talk about and report back next month, Tom.
Thank you.
Dave, do you have anything to add on that?
No, not for today.
Okay.
This is Carolyn. I'm sorry, Derek and Dave. So we're in this new world with the governor's executive order 7B. So any documents that you email to the trustees need to go to Leanna 24 hours in advance of the meeting. To the extent that there's anything for PNF tomorrow that you've sent out, and what you sent last night, for SERF, can you send them to Leanna if you haven't? And Leanna, if you could just post them on the website, we will at least show some sort of good faith efforts to comply with the governor's executive order.
We'll send the same slides. This is Dave. We'll send the same slides to Leanna.
Okay.
This is Leanna, so it's okay to have it posted even though it hasn't been 24 hours.
Because we're doing our best, you know.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
And now we know for April's meetings that if we're still doing it remotely, what we need to do, which is everything's 24 hours in advance of the meeting.
Tom Cameron, now that would be minus any medical records, correct?
No, because we don't post medical records on the website, and we don't post attorney-client opinions. So this is anything, any document, like, for example, we did the insurance, any document that we would talk about in open session.
Okay, so this is Lee. Send us, she could send us the medical records confidentially to ourselves.
Exactly. And the same with legal opinions.
All right.
This is Leanna. I was just going to say, I know it's 24 hours, but seeing how the meetings are at 8 a.m., that's why I would actually probably need to get it the business day before, because it's not me who posts them online. It's our IT department. So I would have to get it to them. Like for this meeting, for instance, I had to get it to them by 5 o'clock Monday.
Carolyn, stay Marin. Is this, as an executive order, is this having anything to do with the current situation in the country, or what? Where did that come from?
So it comes from our governor, and what the governor has done is, you know, he's taken a lot, he's issued numerous executive orders in the last 2 weeks, or certainly in the last week. And as you know, our meetings are subject to the Freedom of Information Act, and in general, a meeting that's subject to the Freedom of Information Act has to be held at a place, right? And everybody has to be open to the public, except for executive sessions. So what the governor did in Executive Order 7B is he said, during this crisis, you do not have to have a physical location, but there are like 10 things that Leanna and I have been working on that you need to do. And one of the things is that any piece of paper that's discussed during your meeting has to be on your website 24 hours in advance of the meeting. I could go through the other items, but I don't think you're probably that interested. You know, it has to be minutes, the recording of the meeting, and then everybody saying who they are in the meeting. But the documents is one of the requirements of Executive Order 7B.
Okay, thank you.
So I have an administrative matter that I need to get addressed. So Dolan McNeary, our fixed income manager, so the contract that they had with Morgan Stanley, because it was dual contract at Morgan Stanley, is exactly the same as the contract, you know, fees, language, everything's the same. The only thing, there was reference to Morgan Stanley in their contract, so they now have the new contract that's referencing Raymond James. That's the only thing that's been changed. And they need to get signatures on that from Jerry. How do I go about, you know, executing that? Because that's the only manager I have that is, you know, requesting this, because they actually made reference to Morgan Stanley in the agreement. How do I go about that? Can I overnight it to Jerry, or is, you know, how do I do that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea to overnight it to Jerry. Now, how are we going to get it from Jerry?
I could handle all the overnight. So, I mean,
but
Jerry,
how do we get it back to you with the signature? I don't know if Jerry.
I could just go meet Jerry. Jerry, if you're open, I can meet you at some point for a cup of coffee in a drive-through.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, that's the way to go.
Jerry, you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, at some point.
We have to order the coffee and take it outside. You know, I think a lot of these places are closed.
Yeah, I know. But either way, you and I could link up, and then I'll just get an overnight to the manager.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Any other business we can left in?
I have just one comment to make.
This
is Mark.
Identify yourself.
I know that voice anywhere.
Who's speaking?
Hi, this is Mark Petrosimone. Can I make one comment?
Go ahead.
When the Mayor Elicker signed off, it was with the understanding that there wasn't going to be any more votes. We could make one more vote on the incremental $3 million investment for the next 3 months. I guess it'll be Leanna or Jerry, if you could just communicate to him what we did.
Yeah, I don't think we were aware of that. It could be a formal vote.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. Just as a follow-up, so he's aware of it. He doesn't read it in the minutes.
Yeah, Leon, I think later we'll she should be sent an email indicating that unbeknownst to us, there was a vote of the trustees based on a recommendation from the financial consultants that we invest $1 million into the market incrementally over the next 3 months. And let's make an assessment as to how that's working. There's an investment strategy. You at least be aware of it.
This is Leanna. Yeah, I'll send him an email as soon as this ends.
Thank you.
Any other commentary, criticism?
This is Carolyn. I just want to say that Leanna has done a spectacular job.
Excellent,
Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leanna.
With a little baby in the house.
Yeah.
Everybody stay safe.
Yep.
Stay healthy.
Keep washing your hands.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Whoa.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Mark Fletcher Simone, second.
All in favor of the paper saying aye.
Mark Fletcher Simone, aye.
Mark Fletcher Simone?
Aye.
Thomas Kiana?
Aye.
Mario Zingari?
Aye.
Kathy Graves? Kathy is gone. All right. Opposed? Abstained? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Everybody be safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.